Dr. Luis Alberto Solar Salaveri works at the Pediatric Hospital of Central Havana. Like all Cuban doctors, Solar is a government employee. Honestly, he could make more money driving a taxi, but he has too much passion for the work to quit.
Every time when I wake up in the morning and go to the hospital, I don't think about money, because if I think about money, I stay home.
Doctors like Solar are justifiably proud of the health system here. Cuba had to develop its own vaccines because of the U.S. embargo. Today, close to 100% of Cuban children are vaccinated against a wide array of diseases. Cuban researchers developed a treatment for diabetic foot ulcers the U.S. doesn't have, and a lung cancer vaccine. And there's a family doctor in every neighborhood.
Once you build the health system based on primary care, you'll have a good system. And that's what happened in Cuba.
Gail Reed says the focus on prevention and early treatment makes a big difference. She's the founder of MEDIC, a group that encourages ties between U.S. and Cuban medical professionals. Reed acknowledges there are cracks in the system, many caused by the former Soviet Union withdrawing its financial support in 1989.
I mean, the Cubans went through a devastating economic collapse in the 1990s. And it really played havoc with all of the institutions, and you can see that today still in many of the hospitals and other infrastructure, and also in the availability of some medications.
Despite this, Reed says Cuba has some real public health bragging points. Special wards for women with high-risk pregnancies reversed an uptick in low birth weight babies. So far, authorities have kept Zika from gaining a foothold. Reed says this explains why, despite the shortcomings, people have confidence in the healthcare system.
Because they know that when there's a major danger, they're going to do something about it.
Cuban authorities take pains to show the country's healthcare in the best possible light, but they couldn't hide some of the more disturbing aspects of the system when they agreed to embed medical students from Michigan State University in Cuban clinics and hospitals. After the first week, as Kendra Camp puts it,
the glow started fading.
Standard equipment was often missing. One student had to insert a catheter with used gloves and no alcohol swab. Another observed a patient undergoing a painful procedure to scrub dead tissue off his arm with no pain relief save a cloth in his mouth. The worst incident was a botched abortion of an 8-week-old fetus. Camp says the doctors used a speculum that was too small, resulting in extensive tissue damage to the patient.
In comparison to the U.S., we focus really on the patient and what is best for the patient. And it seemed, from our point of view, that the focus was on making do with little resources.
Students also felt some cost-saving measures are counterproductive, like not doing routine blood tests on newborns. Based on what med student Bo Pang saw,
I much prefer going back to America for my care.
To be fair, these med students still think the U.S. could learn from Cuba, especially from its focus on primary care, prevention, and public health. For his part, pediatrician Luis Solar says Cubans are eager to learn from Americans and to share Cuban expertise with them, not just in healthcare, in every way.
Take our good things. This country is your country, in the better sense of the word, yes.
Michigan State University plans to remain involved in the dialogue. The university will make the deep dive into Cuban healthcare a permanent course elective for medical students, with a new group visiting the country next spring. I'm Tracy Samilton, Michigan Radio News.